with Wally and Flip, the Routines Pod.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Wally and Flip.
I'm Wally.
And I'm Flip. And welcome back to another episode. And we're recording on a Friday. So we know Korean nationals are happening like pretty much now. So we're not even going to talk too much about it at all, not even preview it, because when this comes out on Monday, it will be over. So anything we discuss will be a complete moot point and we'll probably embarrass ourselves. So we're just prefacing the episode with that, in that Korean nationals is not on the docket for today.
We could probably still guess, though.
Fair enough. And we'll get to it.
Okay.
What we are going to talk about today, we're going to preview the U.S. Nationals next weekend, Canadian Nationals that are also next weekend, as well as look back on Japanese Nationals and Italian Nationals. And speaking of Canadian Nationals, I've been seeing a lot on Instagram from our good friend Benoit Richaud, spending some time in Toronto with his two children, one of them being Steven Gogolev.
I know, it's really kind of crazy how much Steven Gogolev really looks like he could be Benoit's son.
Oh, he is.
Like, compared to his actual son, I was like, they're brothers.
They're brothers. Well, here's the thing, like, Benoit actually gave birth to Steven Gogolev. I don't know how he did it, but he did, and I think, like, it's pretty amazing. And I was looking up a little bit about Steven Gogolev, and his alleged parents are actually both Russian gymnasts who immigrated to Canada. So athletics kind of runs in the family, at least his alleged family.
Alleged.
And I just, when I was looking up about Steven Gogolev too, an article pops up. Canada's next figure skating star weighs 88 pounds. And I'm thinking, oh my God, 88 pounds?
It's 88 kgs, correct?
No, it was an article from 2018. But I'm thinking,
oh my God,
get this man to the hospital. Also, though, when I saw it was 2018, I was like, oh, so like only 5 years ago. No, it was like 8 years.
Oh, yeah. That's all. Like, how old was he in 2018?
Four? No. 13?
Yeah.
I guess we'll just talk a little bit about Canadian Nationals upcoming next week. I think the biggest story there is Steven Gogolev versus Roman Sadovsky.
I know. And honestly, I don't know what the right pick is.
I don't think Canada knows either. I think it really is going to come down to who skates the best.
Yeah, like just make it a true competition. Don't fix it at all. Just see what happens. Because they both have great potential.
Hypothetically, let's say Steven Gogolev outscores Roman in the short program by 10 points, but then Roman outscores Steven Gogolev in the free skate by 11 points. So they're 1 point difference in total score, but Gogolev's short program score and the potential of a short program with two quads could be very valuable. Like, what do you think Canada might do in that instance?
That's a tough one. I mean, I would still say they should just go with whoever wins, because to that argument, probably the man who goes for Canada is going to have to do both the short and the long. So,
of course.
I feel like reliability and consistency to at least stay afloat is the better option. And, you know, I think on either day, both of them have proven they can beat the other one.
I like that point. I was thinking the short programs were super valuable. When you look at it in the way you just described, may the best man win.
And I will say, like, maybe it's just because we are flooded with Benoit content, but, like, I feel like Benoit is really politicking for Gogo. But, again, that just could be because we follow him.
I don't think, like, Benoit does politics.
Yeah.
But otherwise, in Canadian Nationals, I think everything else, like, is pretty predictable.
How many dance and pair spots do they have?
So they have two pair spots and two dance spots. Is that true? That's a big fat lie. They have two pair spots and 3 dance spots. So I think those spots are pretty much decided in Deanna Stellato Dudek and Maxime Deschamps, as well as Trent Michaud and Leah Pereira. And then, of course, the dance teams. I think it's Piper and Paul, Marjorie and Zach, and then Laureat and Legoc. Like, right? It's clearly. So it seems for them, it's more of just like practice. And then women, I mean, it's Maddie Skeezes' spot. We've talked about it extensively. I don't think that's changed.
Right. I feel like any Canadian woman you would have said had something on her didn't really prove themselves thus far. So
it would be really cool to see another Canadian woman rise to the plate at nationals, whether that be like Sarah Maud Dupuis or Gabby Dailman. But I don't think that'll change the outcome of the Olympic spot. But it certainly could change who gets the world spot or who goes to 4 continents. So regardless, I think it'll be could be an exciting season for some of the other women, even if they don't get sent to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Speaking about just like other skaters and their whereabouts in the world, I feel like I've seen so much about the Shibutanis this week. They've been everywhere. First, we saw Maya post about her injury, which I had no clue. She had a fractured kneecap at the end of the summer, which explains the lack of them competing at any challengers this season.
I know. I wonder why they didn't just say that at the time.
Why didn't they? I have no idea. And while it explains for them not competing in challengers early in the season, it doesn't explain why they didn't go to Golden Spin or one of the late season challengers, like the one in Kazakhstan, or there was one in Georgia. So I wonder.
Yeah.
Also, they were on a podcast. I listened, so everyone else doesn't have to. And I can tell you, there wasn't much substance, honestly. And if anyone's interested, it's called House of Mar, with Alona Mar, the rugby athlete, and her sister. So they were interviewing Maya and Alex. It was the most cookie-cutter interview ever had to listen to. It was physically painful. I kind of felt bad for the hosts because it was your typical cookie-cutter U.S. figure skating media-trained responses.
Right. I mean, out of all people, too, of course, theirs is going to be because there's some swirl, like, around them. They can't do anything but keep it cookie-cutter.
Exactly. And it was so funny. There was a point where the host, she was talking about, like, she was talking to her sports psychologist at one point on, like, if she wanted to come back to her sport. And she said, she was saying, like, oh, you know, like, I would love to go back for the Olympics. Like, there's so many deals beforehand and brand opportunities. And then her sports psych was like, well, that can't be the reason you come back. Like, you have to come back because you love it, because like you want to do it and you want to be there. And they were real quiet. They changed the topic. I'm not kidding. I think that he then was like, oh, and how was Dancing with the Stars? I'm not joking. But otherwise, like I said, guys, nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk U.S. Nationals.
Let's do it. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with ice dance because we're with the Shibutanis. I think realistically, they're not sending the Shibutanis. I think there's no chance, actually.
I don't think there's no chance because just the brand deals, I know that should not be what gets someone on the Olympic team, but I don't know. They've put a lot of hope into them making the Olympic team.
But it's not U.S. figure skating getting them these brand deals. It's their management.
So do you think there's no relationship, though, to a brand deal and who makes the team?
No.
I mean, maybe the answer is no.
Definitely not. Ashley Wagner was like the face of women's U.S. figure skating the year before the Olympics, and they turned on her.
Was she the face, though, of like the Olympics?
Yes.
Okay, I don't remember, so.
She was doing all of the Olympic press in 2017, the fall of 2017.
That's so crazy not to, like, take it all the way back to 2018, but that they did that to Ashley.
It is crazy. I mean,
like, that's so crazy.
But also, like, the scores speak for themselves. And we can say, like, U.S. figure skating isn't fair, and, like, they certainly at times are not fair. But they have their selection criteria, and they stay pretty darn true to that selection criteria. Yeah, Ashley Wagner medaled at Worlds in 2016. That was not a part of the 2018 Olympic selection criteria at all. So they have their system to select their team, and they stick to it pretty closely.
So have you done any, I know you like to crunch the numbers, Flip.
Yeah.
Have you done any comparison between the Shipsibs and Carrera and Ponomarenko? I just couldn't think about it since we've never seen them head to head yet. I mean, they have taken a beating this year, Carrera and Ponomarenko. So I'm just curious how much ahead.
What helps Carrera and Ponomarenko hugely is their fifth place at World Championships.
Okay.
What helps the Shibutanis is their third place at the Olympics in 2018, which, in all fairness, cannot be assigned a numeric value to calculate the selection criteria score. But that is what USFS could say, oh, you know, that's our discretionary criteria. But where Christina and Anthony crush them is in Grand Prix scores, Challenger scores of this year, U.S. National scores from last year, and their placement there. So they have all of that over the Shibutanis, and I don't see the Shibutanis being able to outscore them in a way at Nationals that's going to be able to make up that difference.
Mm-hmm.
Unless U.S. figure skating decides to go with their little, like, small, fine print, but it's still up to the discretion of the selection committee.
What is your thoughts about Christina and Anthony changing their free dance?
I'm confused by that choice because they're only going to compete at Nationals before the Olympics. And I know they've
I thought it was a program from another season. My thought is, like, if you were bringing back an old program, why didn't you just bring back Carmen? But I don't remember it. But I also was, like, not really largely following them until last year is when they really made an impact for me.
I think it's a risk in general to, like, change your program this close to the Olympics when, like, nobody's really going to see you with the exception of at your domestic Nationals.
And Notre Dame de Paris was really growing on me. So I don't think that was the reason for their scores. But maybe they got feedback, who knows?
You have to trust that they're being guided by their coaching team, hopefully by the federation, so that they can be successful. That's all you can hope for. So fingers crossed it's the right decision for them because they've worked so hard.
Yeah, but logically it should be Chalk and Bates, Zingis Kolesnik, Carrera Ponomarenko.
Without question, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the men's race. I have some kickers for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
So I crunched all of the numbers based on, like,
cruncher
for the top, or who I've considered the top eight men and who probably are the top eight men with based on the selection criteria. And there are a couple of men who have been competing junior who don't really have their senior minimums that I've mostly excluded for the most part. No spoilers. First, of course, is Ilya.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about it. Who do you think second place is? You'll never guess.
Tomoki?
No. You're not. You might not even know this person.
Oh, Jacob Sanchez?
No.
Ew.
Lucius Kazanecki.
Oh, no way. He's from Ilya Skating Rink, right? With Sarah.
Because of his junior Grand Prix final score and his junior Grand Prix scores in general. Now, despite him being in second for selection criteria at this point, I don't think he's going to be in the conversation. I think a couple of reasons. One, like, the components overall, all aspects of components are not comparable to the other men he's up against. Another reason, he hasn't competed at any challengers. He doesn't have a senior technical minimums. But isn't it interesting? And you can't compare Lucius this year to Ilya in 2022 in any way, shape, or form, but I'm going to get to my point, that Ilya was in kind of the same position in 2022. He didn't have a senior technical minimums. So it's almost like, do they operate under some complex where they're like, oh, we have no chance anyway, so we're not even going to try?
Yeah, I don't know if that's what it is or if it's more just like they just aren't ready yet. Like, they're so good technically, right? And guess what? Ilya wasn't ready either in 2022.
So they had the right idea. That's a great point.
Hey, look what happened to Ilya at Worlds, right? Like, he that he needed that experience to put him in a better position. It wasn't a mistake that they didn't send him to the Olympics in 22.
We also have to remember, looking back to 2022, the reason Ilya wasn't stacking up against the other men in selection criteria is because the junior Grand Prix final was canceled. The Grand Prix final in general was canceled. So he didn't even have that opportunity to like garner those extra points there. I think if he did and Ilya had won junior Grand Prix final and skated the way he did at Nationals, we might seriously be looking at a different outcome.
That's interesting. I did not remember that.
I didn't either until I was like going through the Excel spreadsheet. And I saw like a lot of other people also went through the Excel spreadsheet. But when you do it yourself, you kind of have these like little epiphanies here and there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun to go through. So I'm just going to go through the names of the order of how they stack up. Ilya, Lucius, Jason Brown, Tomoki Hiwatashi, Andrew Torgashev, Jimmy Ma, Max Naumov, Jacob Sanchez. Tomoki, Andrew, Jimmy, and Max are all within approximately 50 to 60 points of each other, which to scale is a pretty small margin. Their total score at Nationals is going to have a multiplier of 4, and that's going to be added to their final score. So if they're all within 50 points of each other, it's not going to take a lot for somebody like Max, for example, who's at the bottom of those 4 right now, to overtake all of them. He would just need to outscore all of them by about 13, 14, 15 points. Totally doable. Are you following? I hope.
I was, but I need an example here about the...
Tomoki has a total score of about 1,078. Max Naumov has a total score of 1,020. So that is a 58-point difference. Which means, mm-hmm. with a multiplier of 4, Max outscores Tomoki by, say, about 15 points. That's going to raise his total score above that of Tomoki's.
Okay.
Which is kind of an uphill battle for Max. That's that's not an easy margin to make up.
Yeah,
15 so, like, points.
Well, how are they, like, from what we've seen from them so far this year, which I know Nationals is obviously going to be way different, but still, like, how is a Tomoki, like, typically scoring to Max so far this year?
Tomoki's highest Grand Prix total score was 307, and Max's was 283.
Okay.
Tomoki's best challenger score was 237, and Max's was 246. So Max outscored him there, but only by about 10 points.
Okay.
Which isn't enough to make up that difference. Again, Nationals could be wildly different. We have no idea, right? But I'm just saying this is very, very close. And Jimmy Ma is absolutely still in the conversation. He's scored much lower than the other men this season. But what's raising him up is his 4 continents medal from last year. Mm. That's giving him a few extra points. So it's these elements kind of balancing these men out. It's really, there's a lot on the line. This is editing flip popping in here really quickly just to say I made a calculation error and that I factored the challenger average score by 1 when I should have factored it by 0.75. So in reality, everything I just said about margin needed for somebody like Max to overtake Tomoki is actually a little bit less than what I said. So nothing's wildly changed. I just want to throw that out there so I don't get yelled at.
Right, but the fact that it's this close, I don't mean to say that they will manipulate it, but to some degree,
if they can,
probably get what they want. So let me ask you this, Flip. Who do you think it should be?
I think whoever lands the highest in the selection criteria rankings. You have to.
I mean, this is my opinion. I don't think it should be Jimmy. I love Jimmy. But if he had just a great national skate, his rest of his skates this season, and what we've historically seen from him, I don't know if it necessarily is going to support that he's even going to make the free skate at the Olympics. So, like, that's where I'm asking, like, who do you think really should get it?
I think Jimmy should if he scores the highest at Nationals and is highest on the selection criteria. Because I could say that about Tomoki, Torgashev, Jimmy, and Max. I'm worried for whoever gets to go, I'm worried for them making the free skate.
And actually, maybe I'm least worried about Tomoki, so maybe he's my answer.
Okay, so then let me ask you this question. Who do you think USFSA wants it to be?
I think they want it to be Max. All he has been through in this past year, it would be an incredible story. It would be an incredible tribute to his parents. Mm-hmm. And it would be an incredible memorial for all of them, all of those who have lost their lives.
And you know, Max is quite the national skater. He does do an amazing job at nationals. I think he could have a really good shot, especially if he's that close in the rankings, as you're saying.
But may the best man win. And by win, we mean win the third spot.
Yeah.
On the U.S. Olympic team. Yeah. We're not even discussing Aaliyah and Jason here. So,
well, was Jason, so Jason is not within the 50 points of them. Is that?
Jason is outscoring them by about 100 points, a little okay. over 100 points.
Got it.
We have the pairs race, which is really Ellie and Danny confirmed. Do you agree? The points say so.
Yeah, I agree.
So then the second spot is, in my mind, Chan and Hao. Sorry, is Emily Chan and Spencer Howe and Audrey Shin and Balaj Naj.
So we have confirmed that Alyssa Efimova does not have citizenship.
Correct. Same with Parkman.
I just want to say, though, like I've been seeing these interviews about what would you like to do in Milan, and they're interviewing them, like Alyssa and Misha. Why do you interview them then?
I think it's probably just a little oversight on their end. And it's like, oh, look at these lovely people walking by, you know, this lovely Paris team that always skates well. Let's ask them a question. I think that's the extent.
Because it feels cruel. Like, what would you like to do? You can't go. Like, what are you doing?
I actually, it's funny you say that because I thought the same thing. It was like, what dish are you most excited to eat in Milan or something?
Yeah.
And I'm like, awkward. But they're very gracious in answering the question. And yes, it's a shame they can't go, but this had to have been expected for them.
Because honestly, like, they, I thought, would have got the second spot otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Comparing Emily and Spencer to Audrey and Balaj, however, Spencer and Emily are outscoring Audrey and Balaj by about 85 points, approximately. Okay. I just did some mental math here. So 85 points, right? Audrey and Balaj would have to outscore Spencer and Emily by about 20 points to make up the difference to mathematically earn the spot. That is a tall order.
It is, but for some reason, I feel like in pairs, it's not impossible.
It's not impossible. You know something I don't like about US's selection criteria? They have nothing about world ranking, which I think is very important.
Yeah.
You don't want a team or a skater skating in the first group.
Right.
So I think in the future, they could maybe work that into their selection criteria. A lot of other countries do.
And I want to be clear. I think if this was a few months ago, I would have been like, oh, there's no world that Audrey and Balaj could ever outscore them by 20 points. But they do seem to have a little bit of momentum right now with their new short program that I think it's possible.
But comparing all of their Grand Prix scores, well, their one Grand Prix score and their challenger scores to Spencer and Emily, they've never outscored them. They've never even actually been close. But again, may the best team win.
Yeah.
And I think let's make it fair. Let's stick to the selection criteria. Because I do think, like, there's nobody that's like, oh, we can bend the rules here. Like, nobody, including the Shibutanis, I think have that leverage.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. We spent entirely too much time talking about U.S. nationals.
I know, but it's very interesting. Let's talk about women real quick.
Oh, yeah, women. I forgot about them. Okay, do we need to?
Well, can you just share, did you crunch the numbers? I'm just curious, like, where?
No.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
I don't think U.S. figure skating even has a calculator for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much a given. I was just curious, like, how far out were, like, a Sarah and a Brady? I'm sure they're really far out. I would just...
No. Brady and Sarah aren't as far out as you think. And I do somewhat know this because about halfway through the season, I did do a quick Excel calculation and they weren't as far behind as you'd think because Isabeau was not at nationals last year. Brady has scored pretty well. She's held her own at international competitions. And then both Sarah and Brady medaled out four continents last year.
Right.
So where Isabeau and Amber got points at Worlds last year, Brady and Sarah also got points at Four Continents, having medaled, and those worked out to be pretty close, or closer than you might think. It would have to be a really weird scenario where, like, remember when Isabeau fell like 3 times at that one nationals a couple years ago?
Yeah.
It would have to be a situation like that, and then like Brady would have to get second. But even then, I think it might, you know what I mean, depending on how they can manipulate the scores. So Amber, Isabeau, and Alyssa. I think probably the U.S. has never been more happy with a team of skaters. I mean, they all have medal potential. I can't wait, though. And it starts on Wednesday. Pair short and women's short is on Wednesday. I'm like, that's awesome. My entire week. I have plans all week. I'm so excited. All right. Do we want to backtrack a little bit? Let's talk about Italian nationals first, because I think that's a pretty quick conversation.
Okay. Kind of. Sure.
So Nicola Memola withdrew from Italian nationals. I'm going to be honest, I did not open Italy's selection criteria or bylaws. I did not, but I am bringing this to you secondhand from everybody else on Reddit and Twitter. Long story short, this is what's important. Whoever places and scores higher at Europeans between Matteo Rizzo and Nicola Memola is going to the Olympics, is joining their fellow Italian man, Daniel Grassel, in Milan. That's long story short.
That's crazy.
It's definitely become a little bit more even because of Nicolai's, I think, struggles in his most recent competitions. And then, of course, like the minor injury and some of the challenges he's been having the past few weeks.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think I've always said, like, I can't see an Olympics without Nicola Memola there. But Matteo, too, like, has such great Italian spirit. It's like a weird thing, but like they both have such a great Italian spirit and a great figure skating spirit. And like, even though Nikolai's only been around for 2 years, they both in ways just feel like staples in the men's field. So whoever, again, may the best man win.
Yeah.
There it is. Women, we have Lara Naki Gutmann, officially named to the Olympic team, as well as Conti and Machi of pairs, Giardi and Ambrosini of pairs as well, and then Guignard and Fabbri.
Not much of a surprise.
All right. Should we get into Japanese nationals?
Let's do it.
Which, and I want to be totally transparent. Had we recorded this episode immediately after Japanese nationals, like, I think we could have had a whole episode on the competition of the results, the Olympic selections, world selections, four continent selections. But now that we're like almost 3 weeks removed, it just feels so distant.
Right. It just feels like this was just a fact and it was always going to be this way.
Right. I mean, men, we have Yuma, Shun, and Cao on that Olympic team.
Which honestly, Cao did surprise me.
He stepped up. It was a do or die. I saw in an interview, he said Yuma and Shun came up to him before the skate and said, you have to skate well so that we can all go to the Olympics together.
Oh my God.
And he was like, yeah, you're right. I do. And he did.
I mean, their friendships really make my heart so full.
When I saw that photo of Shun hugging Yuma with tears in his eyes.
Yeah, I wanted to die.
I wanted to almost cry because you don't see emotion from Shun. And I think he specifically tries to hold it in. As many people do, they're not comfortable showing their emotions.
Yeah.
It's very normal. But to like see him just be so overcome with emotion that he couldn't keep it in anymore was so sweet. Or even after he skated well at Nationals, at Cup of China, he, you know, threw his fist up in the air, was, you know, happy, excited, and proud. Like, I love to see him feeling more comfortable expressing himself.
Mm-hmm.
Medal contender, without question.
I am sad for Kazuki Tomono just because I love his short, but I did see that he is going to continue competing next season. So
not only did he say next season, he said he wants to stay for the whole, did he say that? I'm getting confused.
I saw Rinka say she wants to be till 2030. I don't know about Kazuki.
Oh, Rinka. And by the way, I think JSF is very lucky. Rinka has decided to stay for another 4 years. They don't see her value. I do.
Yeah.
And it's all going to start to change. I hope so, because I think she's treated so unfairly.
Yeah, but she really had a a strong season from how she started. Like, she should be so proud of herself. And, I mean,
yeah,
honestly, as we talked about before, all four of them should have got to go.
I didn't think they had to score Rinka in the way that they did. With two clean triple axels in the free skate, one of them in combo with a triple toe, and amazing performance quality, amazing composition, skating skills not as strong as the other women. But, like, with all of those aspects, to me, she was in the, like, upper 140s, like, 145. I think she was scored a little low here. So they, like, didn't need to do that to her. I think they should have had her on the world's team.
Yeah, the fact that she was in seventh is kind of crazy.
Crazy. But that also just shows, again, like, the depth of the Japanese women's field. A highlight here for me, just overall, Yuna Aoki's La La Land program. I can't get enough of it. Truly, it is fabulous choreography. I hope she choreographs for other skaters once she retires, because she's too good not to. You know what I mean? Like, we need that. And yeah. I think the other skaters need it as well. We didn't even level set on the podium. I don't know if we need to. Of course, like, we have Kaori in first, Mao in second, Mona in third, Ami in fourth, with the Olympic team, of course, being Kaori, Mona, and Ami. Mao obviously not being eligible. It'll be interesting to see, like, next year Mao's transition to seniors.
I know. I'm very intrigued to see if this is going to continue.
To a degree, like, I personally prefer, like, watching Ami Nakai over Mao Shimada. Personal preference.
I agree. I just like Ami's connection to the ice and her emotion. And her skating.
Right. And I don't think Mao's programs do her any favors. And I think it is because, like, oh yeah, she is still a junior. And yeah, maybe she should still, like, do junior-esque programs. Like, I think that's totally fair. But I would love to see something, like, really mature and powerful next season for her. To really, like, stake her claim in the women's field. Because I think if she doesn't, I don't know if they're going to push for her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? She needs to, like, stake her claim. All right. I mean, there's so much we could talk about, but, like,
yeah,
I'm, like, looking at the results. I'm like, I have 20 things I could say, but, like, we're sticking to highlights here. We don't do 2-hour long episodes.
Yeah. Can I? And I mean, I know there's not much to talk about with the pairs and dance, but what was your take on Miura and Kihara?
Miura and Kihara withdrew because she dislocated her shoulder. So that is, I think, smart. Why compete if you don't need to?
Right.
I think Nagaoka and Moriguchi, who of course landed in first, could be a huge force in the next quad. The rate at which they've improved is incredible. They're really exciting to watch. They skate very well together. They have a long way to go, but, like, they're really exciting. So I'm excited for them. But no, I don't have anything to read into it. Do you?
No, that's what I was asking.
I don't. I didn't really think about it too much. I said, you know, you're injured. Yep, stop. Like,
yeah.
In dance, we have Yoshida and Morita earning that spot to compete for Team Japan in the team competition. We also had, though, I think of honorable mention, Ikura Kushida and Koshiro Shimada, a newly formed ice dance team. Of course, both single skaters. Ikura still competing in women's. I could see them being the number one ice dance team next season.
Mm-hmm.
They need to work hard, though.
That's crazy that Kura Kishida is doing both. Like, that is really cool.
She's a really great performer. If you haven't seen her, because I know you're probably, like, not tuning into Japanese Nationals ice dance.
Correct.
Also, Koshiro is an amazing performer, and it's not something you've really ever seen in his single skating. I think because in single skating, it's a little bit harder to, like, combine the jumps and the technical elements with mm-hmm. the performance. So seeing him, my God, he could be an actor.
Wow.
Seriously. Definitely, if you haven't watched it, watch their free dance. He blew me away with his, like, performance. And her, too. I mean, they're absolutely wonderful. I can't wait for them. I hope she sticks with ice dance. I think she probably was, like, sticking with singles as well because she maybe wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm crossing my fingers they stay together and keep going down this road. And I think Japan needs them.
I agree.
So I'm really excited.
All right, do we have anything else?
I don't think so.
All righty. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We will have another episode next week. Oh wait, Korean nationals.
Oh yeah, do you want to guess?
I mean, it's Chaeyoung and Gia.
Right. Okay.
Right?
That's what I was going to say.
It's Chaeyoung and Gia. Congratulations, ladies. All right, let's leave it there. Congrats to Gia and Chaeyoung. By the way, we're filming this on the Friday before Korean Nationals, so we'll see. But we'll see everybody next week with our U.S. Nationals and Canadian Nationals recap, as well as our Europeans preview.
Let's do it.
Thanks, everyone. And flip ta-ta. The roof.